Today more than ever, our homes, churches, and nation need strong leadership. Ronnie Floyd has over 30 years of experience leading one of the largest churches in America. He has led the largest evangelical community in the nation and is influencing the country with strong biblical convictions. And he believes that people can change the world. With his legacy of influence, Ronnie Floyd is committed to the development of leaders. And now, here's your host, Ronnie Floyd, on Life and Leadership Today.
One of the biggest challenges of any organization is funding their vision. This is the same problem in many families in America today. While their vision is worthy, the lack of funds is evident. And the question is asked, what do we do now? This is why I've asked Chris Brown to be our guest today. Chris is a nationally syndicated radio talk show host and a dynamic speaker. He connected with Ramsey Solutions in 2014. Chris Brown, I want to thank you today for joining me on Ronnie Floyd on Life and Leadership Today.
I'm honored.
Chris, what is the number one challenge that organizations are facing today in funding their vision?
That's a tough one. I got several that I could probably zero in on, but probably the number one problem is they have the funds. They have them. They're just in the people's wallets who are sitting down in the seats for those, at least when it comes to a church. When it comes to other organizations, I guess foundationally, it starts with having a realistic vision. I think sometimes people, you know, we teach all the time, have a God-sized vision. And then there's just crazy. Like there's a vision that's so big, that's so outside of the leader's gift mix. It's outside of what God's called them to do. Maybe they're doing it for the wrong reasons. Maybe they're doing it because they there could be a host of different wrong reasons to have a vision. But they got to make sure that it's God's, that they've given it to them. You think about it. A lot of folks want to be Moses, but there was only one Moses. There was 2.4 million that were following. So we're not all called to be Moses.
That's really good, Chris. Thanks for that observation. And I want to follow up with this and ask, if a president of an organization or a business, or let's say a pastor of a local church, tells you their vision, and then they say to you, hey, Chris, here's my vision, and would you give me three things, Chris, that I need to do right in order to see my vision come into reality?
Yeah, well, number one is to, I guess, get it settled in your mind first. Of course, you're not going to have this perfect, Monday morning quarterback vision that we have after the game. I mean, you're looking through game film, but as close as you can get to what the vision needs to look like on the front end, because when you go to number two and communicate it to the team, there's got to be some clarity. There's got to be what do you expect? What is this? What does a win look like? If you want to attract thoroughbreds and not donkeys, those that will run through a brick wall for the vision, those who have high capacity, they're going to expect that there is clarity, because if you look at the DISC profile, 40% of working adults are the S profile, which means they want to know about, they want to know the why. They want to, they're based on trust. And so they've got to have clarity on where you're going. And then thirdly, there's got to be a strategy that makes sense. A lot of times in the church world, which is the world that I'm speaking into the most these days, there is this great vision, got a great visionary, got these great plans, even can communicate it well. Just the strategy is weak. A lot of times what I'll see in the church world is overexpansion too fast, wanting to launch campuses, but we also want to plant churches, but we also want to build a bigger building at the broadcast campus. We want to do all three. A lot of times the visionary doesn't have the same skill set as the strategist, and the strategist doesn't have the same skill set as the processes person. So you've got to really build a team around you that covers your weaknesses.
No question about it. And a moment ago, you were talking about the position of families. As you well know, Chris, 70% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck, regardless of salary. When you meet someone who is living out in this very scenario we just painted, how do you coach them?
Yeah, I mean, those stats are brutal. You know, again, 70% are living paycheck to paycheck, and that's a Wall Street Journal study that came out a couple years ago. And you ask, how does that happen? Is it because they're underemployed? Are they unemployed? No, it's paycheck to paycheck, meaning there is a paycheck. It's not an income problem. It's an outgo problem. And so helping people with this, I think it's the number one thing holding the church back. I think it's the number one thing holding businesses back, not just because it's the people in the seats, but it's also the team. The team is in that position as well. Even leadership is in that position. So I think it's the number one thing holding organizations back. But at the same time, I want to flip it on its head and say it's the number one opportunity. And so as I help people with this, I think there's a big foundationally, there's one big spiritual component. And there's one big, I would say, mathematical component. I was going to say practical, but spiritual is practical. Right. So spiritually, we've got to shift our worldview from entitlement, which is very natural to fall into, just as we all have flesh on. We're all fallen mankind, and we just gravitate towards entitlement, whether you're millennial or you're not a millennial. So we want to shift that over to contentment and gratitude. The gratitude is because we understand that we're not the owners, we're the managers.
That's right.
That God is the owner. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." So if we're not the owners, what are we? We are the managers. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, those who have been entrusted to be managers must prove faithful. The mathematical side, foundationally, before I help anybody with this, we go back to the budget. And a lot of folks say, "Oh, I already budget." No, I'm not talking about tracking your spending. After you've done it, I'm talking about before the month begins, writing down on paper, on purpose, where every dollar is going to go. Give it an assignment, give it a destination. Luke 14:28, Jesus himself says, "Who in the world would ever build a tower and not sit down first and count the cost?" John Maxwell says, "A budget is telling your money where it should go instead of wondering where it went." So the filter for being successful with finances goes back to, if you run every decision through this filter, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Thank you, Chris. And I really concur. That is a fantastic way to look at it. And your website is stewardship.com. And Chris, I really want our listeners today to hear your story and about the mission of stewardship.com.
So this passion kind of started in me all the way back in childhood. I grew up in lots of poverty. I grew up in lots of violence. My mom had probably a good 10, 15 guys that were around the house that were very violent. Childhood as far as my family life. And so we made a lot of bad decisions financially and relationally. But you know, what's really cool is I always growing up through all that, sleeping underneath bridges, going from abuse shelter to abuse shelter, 17 different schools, just a pretty tough childhood. I always had a church, a local church, and we're talking about all the way from California to Florida and cities in between. There's always a church on the corner that I could walk to or ride my bike to within a couple miles that was a refuge for my family, whether it be prayer, whether it be counseling, whether it be $25 for gas. Whatever it was a refuge for me. So as you can see where the passion's starting to come from, you know, I start off my adult life. I married this amazing Brady Bunch type wife who is, you know, grew up in the Brady Bunch. She's got the whole Christian family heritage. She's the real deal. We started our adult life coming out of Christian college, and we're just killing it financially. I mean, we're saving tons of money. And 1 month I decided to get really prideful, and we were flipping houses at the time, and I was making a lot of money doing that with cash. So I borrowed $1 million, and the year was 2007. Yes, right before the recession. And if you're listening in and you're a little too young to realize, just so you know, a recession hit, and it was absolutely brutal. And I'm sitting on 8 vacant houses. I can't sell them. I can't rent them. And I'm paying nearly 10 grand a month in payments on 8 vacant homes for 3 years. And so I filed bankruptcy. My number one takeaway from that season of my life was I wanted to do so much for the kingdom, but I just couldn't. I had great intentions, But again, being intentioned for ministry is nothing without being positioned for ministry. And I looked to my left and looked to my right and realized, oh my goodness, I'm not alone. And so for me, this is a just pent up passion of mine. I want to make sure that everyone understands what it looks like to manage God's blessings, God's way for God's glory. So we're reclaiming stewardship. And the website you referenced, stewardship.com, is just one way that we're doing that, pointing people to resources, articles, free podcasts, free radio shows, free this, free that. There's some things on there you can buy as well. But stewardship.com is a one-stop shop on, oh my goodness, how do you live this life smart? How do you live it God's way and for His glory?
That's incredible. I really appreciate your honesty and transparency about your past and your journey. And if you're out there today and you identify with some of that, just know that God will see you through. You know, here on Life and Leadership with Ronnie Floyd, we talk Chris Brown continually about leadership in all kinds of ways. And one of the ways we learn great leadership is through hanging out with wonderful leaders. And you've had the privilege to walk alongside of Dave Ramsey, who obviously is one of the great leaders in America. But he also has a group of others, obviously, around him who are gifted leaders. But I thought it would be really interesting for our listeners to be able to hear from your perspective, what are some of the great lessons you've learned from Dave or someone on his team? Talk to us about that.
You can't expect what you don't equip. You can't expect what you don't equip. And this, for me, has been the biggest, what I've seen in my leadership over the last 10 years. Since I've been here, I've realized how poorly I've done this. I've expected things that I didn't equip. You think about what you just said. I can't believe from your past and what you've been through that you're getting to do what you do now. Well, that's not an accident. I've been very, very equipped. I mean, God has put His hand on this. But practically speaking, here in an earthly setting, I've been very equipped. I mean, I've, you know, Ramsey Solutions has paid for me to go to so many different speaking conferences and media training. So many times we've gone in our little conference room here at Ramsey Solutions, and I have delivered talks and done media training where there's 10 people in the seats with clipboards, and they're just tearing me apart in a nice way. giving me some great feedback. And there's a lot of behind the scenes that's happening here for me to be able to go on Fox News or for me to be able to speak at a large 10,000 person event or something like that. It didn't happen on accident. It's been a lot of equipping. And I think they do that really, really well. They give great feedback. And it's something I have not done well in the past. I've expected what I haven't equipped. But probably the biggest thing that I've learned from Dave and from this organization is the power of consistent generosity. We're talking 25 years of an organization that has pointed itself towards how can we serve you? Not what can we get from the marketplace, not what we can get from the church world. How can we serve you, like authentically serve the church world? But Ramsey Solutions is a very generous company and one that I'm honored to be a part of. So just some things that I've learned, that makes me think of a quote from Norman Schwarzkopf. It says, leadership is a potent combination of strategy and character. But if you must be without one, be without strategy.
Well, that is so encouraging. And you talked a moment ago about generosity, and that's exactly where I want to go. Talk to us about why some organization should live out this principle of generosity in their life and their family.
I'm thoroughly convinced that this is the only way that we can truly live the John 10:10 life, life to the full, life abundantly, that Jesus came to give us. Proverbs 11:25 says, those who refresh others themselves are refreshed. It's the most fun we'll ever have with money. It's the most fun we'll ever have with our time. The most fun we'll ever have with our energy. It's the most, it's the time when we're the most like Jesus. But it's counterintuitive. It really is. It's counterintuitive. And that's why we have to go back to our belief system. That's the reason why I wanted to start off this podcast with a belief system of gratitude and contentment. You see, if we can change our belief system and realize how non-entitled we are, that we're just the managers, we're not the owners of our time and energy and talents, right? Mm. Belief system that will yield a different set of actions, and that different set of actions will yield different results. Mm. And so gratitude overflows into generosity. You could say it this way: generosity is the currency of gratitude. Generosity is gratitude in action.
Thanks for your insight and the entire thought there about you cannot expect what you do not model. You cannot expect what you do not equip. So many leaders need to get that. And I want to thank you for sharing it with us today. Just fantastic insights. If nothing else, we need to take those two home. Outstanding job. But I want to talk about one or two other things with you, Chris. And there's so many myths out here about money. What do you think are two or three myths that people really buy into about their money?
Well, number one is that wealth is evil. I think we're told our whole life, hey, be successful, be successful, be successful. And then when you are successful, which I would not put myself in that category, but I think somebody who's maybe, let's just say a millionaire or a gazillionaire or whatever, and they get there, then it's like, oh, they've done something wrong. Like, they're bad people. And so I think wealth is evil. And if I were to break that down a little further, there's the prosperity gospel that's out there that is incorrect. Mm-hmm. There's the poverty gospel that's incorrect. You know, Gnostics have been saying that for years, that you've got to be, walking to work with no automobile and wear the same clothes every day. And that's when you're real scriptural, that's an extreme version of the gospel. The accurate gospel is gratitude gospel. And it is just, you're so grateful, and it's all about ratios. And you break down your budget, and you do it in a way where, you know what, it actually symbolizes that you're grateful. So wealth is evil is one of those myths. Another one is that we've always had to have a car payment. It's like out there that, oh, car payment, it's a way of life, right? Yeah. And I just wish we knew how horrible. Bottom line is, it goes back to interest paid is a penalty, interest received is a reward. It's that simple. So if you're listening in today and you've always thought, I always have to have a car payment, I want to encourage you to keep paying car payments. Just pay them to yourself. Pay yourself a $500 car payment, which is the average car payment in America, $503. Pay that to yourself, and every 10 months, you upgrade your car $5,000. It's that simple. And you keep doing that and you'll be loving life. So pay yourself the car payment. Now, another one is that you need a FICO score, that you need a credit score. And I'll just say this, a credit score, all it says, all it does is measure your ability to play kissy face with the bank. When I had the highest FICO score or credit score was the time in my life when I had the lowest net worth. Mm. When I have the lowest credit score, which is zero right now, I have a zero credit score, is the time in my life where I've had the highest net worth. So the FICO score does not measure net worth. It actually measures how great you are at borrowing, which is not really scriptural. Mm-hmm. And the last one, people think they need loans for college. They don't need loans for college. There's a 529 plan or an ESA that is got great tax advantages if your kids are like maybe under 12. If they're over 12, or maybe they're in school now, here's three little tidbits of advice. One, choose an affordable school, which usually means in-state. An in-state school is about $9,000 a year. Out-of-state is $23,000 a year. Number two, get scholarships and get grants. Okay, that's my second advice when it comes to school loans. And lastly, junior can get a job. Like he literally or she can literally work through school, that she will not die. I promise. Many of you listening in now, you're a parent, you worked through college and you survived. The stats say that you'll have a higher GPA if you work during school than if you don't. If you work part-time as a part-time student, you can pay for a $9,000 a year school, which would be an in-state school.
Well, those are all really, really strong, and thank you for doing that, Chris. And my final question to you today is, and you talked a moment ago just about some of those personal low moments as a child, but I want you to talk to people today for a moment who might be facing a low moment. But what was one of those lowest moments in your life, and what did you do to come out of that moment, to embrace the challenge, to rise up and to overcome.
Well, I did hint at it a little bit earlier in the podcast, and that is my bankruptcy. So very, very low moment for me. And going through that process, what worked for me, if I were to just kind of oversimplify it and kind of give you some takeaways, was number one, mm-hmm. it was pray. It was because what it did for me is it did a couple things. It put things into perspective. But also reminded me of who God is and what he's promised. God's called you to do two things on this earth, to love him with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And then I guess if I were to put a third thing on there, I would say, I would just add, take as many to heaven with you as possible. That for me, that's how I kind of sum up the Bible. Oversimplified, I know. The second thing I did was I surrounded myself with people of stronger faith. The who you surround yourself with is really important during those low moments. The third thing I did is I hyper-focused on others. And what it did for me is going right back to Proverbs 11:25. Those who refresh others themselves are refreshed. And so for me, in my lowest part of my life, I focused on others, I refreshed others, and then it refreshed me and it dug me out of the hole. And then since then, number four and five would be I got a counselor and I got mentors to walk me through what I was experiencing so I could make sense of it all. So I can speak on this podcast today and see what happened, what worked and what didn't work. And the fifth thing is journal, to be able to journal it all so that I can write blogs about it, so that I can talk on media about it, so I can get on podcasts about it, so that I can have a radio show about it. And I can leverage the mess out of it, because going all the way back to stewardship, we're not just managing money God's way and for God's glory. We got to leverage our story God's way and for God's glory. So the whole point of my whole entire past is so I can leverage it. I can suck the nutrients out of it, and I can bring God glory even through those very low moments. If you're listening in and you've got crazy low moments that you're going through right now, or you just went through, push pause, go through those steps, and then suck the nutrients out of that, because God wants you to give glory, because it's part of your story. And again, it's his story, not yours.
Right.
You're just managing that story for his glory.
Well, thank you, Chris Brown, for encouraging us today and for joining me on this really special podcast, for sharing your heart, opening up your past, your present, what God's doing with you today, and even your future. Thank you so much for listening today, and I really hope you will join me next week on Ronnie Floyd on Life and Leadership Today.
Thank you for spending time with us today. Please subscribe, rate, and share this podcast with others. Also follow Ronnie via social media on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Ronnie Floyd. Learn more about Ronnie by visiting ronniefloyd.com. Don't forget to join us next week as we spend time learning together about life and leadership today.